From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's field trip is Ken Rowland, a guy who can truly be called a Renaissance man in the Bay Area arts. Born in Santa Barbara in 1932, Ken's family on his father's side are the Pachecos, who settled in Marin County in 1832. On his mother's side are four generations of California natives. Ken trained as a classical and opera singer, studied in Europe, and has sung in Bay Area opera and musical productions since the 1960s. He holds a degree in music from Dominican University, and he's directed over 24 opera productions for Berkeley Opera and the West Bay Opera. In musical theater, he's performed leading roles in South Pacific, My Fair Lady, Kismet, Anything Goes, and The Sound of Music. In drama and comedy, he's performed leading roles in The Winslow Boy, The Dresser, Separate Tables, Waltz of the Toreadors, and many others. Since 1982, Ken has produced, directed, and taken leading roles in productions for the Ross Valley Players Theatre Company, as well as designing their wonderful sets. In fact, he's created over 200 scenic designs for various Bay Area productions. For the past 25 years, Ken Rowland has both designed and built the incredible sets for the Marin Mountain Play on Mount Tamalpais, and he's responsible once again this year for the set for their current production of The Music Man. Ken has two grown sons and a six-year-old daughter who lives in Durham, North Carolina, and he's talking to us today from his home in Raleigh, North Carolina. Please welcome to the field trip Mr. Ken Rowland. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you very much.
Did I pronounce it right? Is it Rowland or Rowland?
It's Rowland. Yes, according to my father and my grandfather.
So
anyway,
you're a true son of the Golden West.
I am indeed, and my family did settle in Marin in 1832, which was, you know, quite a long time ago in California standards.
Well, tell me a bit about where you grew up and your family and your early life.
Well, it was Santa Barbara during the Depression, I guess you could say. But, you know, when you're growing up and you're small, playing on the beach is about the best life you can have, and you don't think about anything else. But it was Santa Barbara, filled of the war, World War II. And then I gravitated back up to my roots in Northern California, Marin County.
What kind of a place did you live in when you were in Marin County? It must have been a little more rural than it is now.
Well, there's the family estate where my brother grows wine, grapes, and presses his own Pacheco Vineyards. And the big house there was built, I think, in about 1885, 1888, something like that. And that's where I mostly grew up, especially in every summer. And those days, the road out front, which is now, you know, 8-lane freeway, was only a 2-lane road, and then it became a 3-lane road. And I rode my bicycle back and forth across to what was then Hamilton Field. And a little bit of schooling in San Rafael. And then finally, in midlife, I went back to school at Dominican in San Rafael. Took a music degree.
So the Rowland Boulevard that we know in Novato is a namesake of your family.
It was named after my grandmother, my father's mother, who was not in real estate exactly, but she worked for years in the title company. And so not long before she died in 1965, they were cutting through this road, and they named it after her.
Well, what was it that got you interested in music and sent you back to school to get a degree in music from Dominican?
Well, I was introduced to opera back around 1950, and when I was, you know, still in my teens, basically, and got hooked. And so so I started trying out my own voice and joined a choir in the Episcopal Church, which had some good music to sing, and pretty soon started taking lessons. And I did some opera locally for some of the colleges, and then went to Europe in the early 70s, studied there for a year. And then, no, didn't do too much opera after 1980, but I kind of switched over to musical theater.
And you did a lot of mountain plays yourself as the lead in a lot of shows.
I did. My second year there, after I'd designed The King and I also auditioned and got the role of Emile Devec in South Pacific, which was quite a thrill. Not in my usual voice range, but somehow I made it work. And I look on that as, you know, a thrill that is not often produced when you step out on stage and in front of almost 4,000 people and sing Some Enchanted Evening that everyone knows just as well as you do.
That's right. Well, you did a great job in a show that I was in, My Fair Lady, playing Professor Higgins. You were wonderful in that.
Well, thank you very much. That was my fourth production of playing Henry Higgins. And, well, it doesn't get much bigger than that.
That's right.
It was very successful.
Well, tell me how you got into theater design.
Oh, well, that goes back to my junior year. You must know that I was in my 40s then. At the Dominican, they asked me to create an opera workshop. So with myself and another woman who was a much better pianist than I was, we created an opera workshop. And I got a few sticks and some cardboard that I raided from the appliance stores, built somewhat of a set, and we produced some one-act operas and some opera scenes. And that was in 1979, and I've been going ever since.
Well, you've built some great sets for the Ross Valley Players. Most recently, you did a fabulous train set for the show On the 20th Century. Tell me about that one.
Well, I originally wanted to make the set move because there were three compartments to be seen, and I had this grand illusion, fantasy, you might say, of putting in big pulleys and everything and sort of sliding the train across the stage back and forth to change scenes in the compartments. Well, that was a bit grand for the Ross Valley Players. So I found a way to compact the scenes. After all, train compartments are smallish. So it worked pretty well. And I think the show, you know, proved a pretty good success for them.
It sure did. Well, that was the second train that you built this year on stage, right?
Actually, it was the first one. The second train is still on stage up on Mount Tamalpais. It was much bigger.
And that's for the Music Man, right?
That's for the Music Man. We got a truck and we pretty much dismantled it back to just the cab and built a locomotive around that. And then the trailer became the carriage, where the eight men then open the show. And then the truck starts up. There's a bit of smoke coming out, and away it goes. So it worked.
Well, tell me a bit about the logistics of creating those giant sets for the mountain play. I mean, it's immense. I've had Ian Swift, your cohort, on to tell me a bit about the construction. But how do you get it all together? What are the production meetings like?
Well, the first production meetings are pretty, well, I'd say primitive. But before that, of course, the designer will talk to the director and agree on a sort of an outline. Then I come forward with a floor plan, and that gets approved, and then the model. And I pretty much use the model as an elevations, painted, colored, all of that. So the scenic artist, scenic painter, has something to go by. And we have storage up on top of the mountain, and we bring... we recycle all we can and bring it down and lay it out. It's an 8-week project from load-in to opening day.
Well, now, in case people think that you're just the guy who sits there with a lot of pieces of paper and tells other people what to do, we should disabuse them of that notion. You're there with your tool belt on and your electric screwdriver in hand, actually building and painting these sets, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I like to get up on top of a 20-foot ladder and kind of lead the pack, so to speak.
Yeah. What kind of a pack do you have? How many guys you got up there?
I'd say six, maybe seven, counting myself, some start to finish. Some are on for just a couple of weeks, maybe three, and then some are on for the whole 7 or 8 weeks. And so, you know, it takes 6 to 7 guys to do it, depending on the show. Every show has different, you know, demands.
Sure. So are you still interested in performing on stage?
Well, I haven't done anything for about 7 years now. And, yeah, I itch once in a while to get back on stage if the right vehicle comes along.
Well, but, I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the last show that I did with you, The Dresser, your farewell performance in Marin?
Yes, it was. And I look back on that fondly.
So do I.
Yes, it couldn't have been more rewarding.
And that was a great role for you, too, also, a great Ronald Harwood play.
Yes, I love that role. I'd love to do that one again.
Would you?
Yes, I would.
Any others that you're interested in?
Well, Mitchell, yes, there are a few. I can't think of them right now, but when I look back, if I were to write my memoirs, almost everything that suited me at different stages of my life on stage, you know, I was able to do. I made a lot of my own opportunities, produced a lot of my own plays, cast them, directed them, designed them. I did that 6 or 8 times. So, I could probably think if I had a little more time, of a couple more I would love to do. I'd like to do more Shakespeare. But out here in Raleigh, I haven't really, you know, scratched the earth.
Well, now, there's a reason that you're out there in Raleigh and not back here with all your mates in Marin. What is that?
Well, that's because my daughter lives out here. And, you know, at my age and her age, we belong together.
Tell me about her.
Well, Vivian just turned 6 years old yesterday, and she came out to see me when I was still just finished working on the Mountain Play, and she saw some of my work, which delighted me. I took her backstage, and she watched some of the people making up, and I introduced her to the lead, and Marion the librarian gave her a big kiss, and Vivian was delighted. So it was a grand day, and I'm just so happy that she, you know, made the trip out here with her mother.
Is she theatrical?
Oh, she loves to dance, and I have to say, you know, I'm sure I sound like a proud father, but I have to say, when she sings, she always stays in tune, which delights me.
Well, she is delightful. I met her a couple of times, and she's a lovely kid. And it's great talking to you, Ken. I'm sorry you're not around a little more, but it's great that you get over here every now and then to do these things, and we do get to see you. And all I can say is continued good luck to you, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thank you very much, Mitchell Field.
You betcha. That's theater designer, actor, doting father, and all-around Renaissance man, Ken Rowland. And don't forget that this year's Mountain Play, The Music Man, continues through June 17th. Well, thanks for joining me today on the field trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable, Channel 26, on your computer at Radio Sausalito anytime, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.